perfected love of Christ is all about the love that Jesus had for us that made him pay the price he paid. That is all about the theme of the conference. We are gathered here to know deeper of how much God loves you, because without the knowledge of how much God loves you, there are certain things that you will be scared of in life. For example, you can be scared of death except you know how much God loves you. Death will no longer be a threat to you, because you know that God cannot just allow you to die just like that. So one of the purpose for this, the theme of this conference, is to enlighten us more about the love of Christ. About the love of Christ. And that's the major reason he came to die. The Bible says that no greater love had a man than this, that he laid down his life for his brother. Hallelujah. So while the message will be going on, while our minister Emmanuel will be preaching, I want you to open up your heart, open up your mind, so that you can grasp something today. Because if you live here without knowing how much God loves you, there are certain things that will keep terrorizing you, because you do not have the knowledge of how much God loves you. So that's a loophole. The devil can use that as an advantage to get you, because you do not know how much God loves you. And there's nothing God can do. If you do not know how much God loves you, then he cannot manifest, he cannot express that love to you. So you need to have an understanding of the degree and the level God loves you for him to be able to express that love. Because God works with you based on the level of knowledge you have. And if you do not have the knowledge of how much God loves you, he cannot express that love to you. Are you getting me? So while Minister Emmanuel will be teaching, I want you to ask God to open your eyes to see how much God loves you, that you will not just know, you will experience the love of Christ, so that all those things that bother you will no longer bother you. Lift up your voice and pray. That's the prayer point. Lord, open my eyes that I may know and experience the love that you have for me. Salim Bresco Veliata Raka Pepo Salebarate Embrando Salim Briata Jate Cabarate Coveleta Raka Pateca Pateca Briata Celebrato Celebriata En Shalam Bresco Veliati Embarate Cool Rati Shatam Bresco Veliata Raka Pateca Pateca Celebrata En Shalam Bresco Veliata. I no longer want to be a slave to fear. I no longer want to be a slave to fear. Jete kabarate, embrando salim priata, rakam besko veleta, jete kabarodiata, rakapate kapeleta. The cure for fear is to know how much God loves you. The cure for fear is to know how much God loves you. Jete kabarate, embrando salim priata. If you know how much God loves you, fear will no longer have a place in your life. Jati kabarata, embrando celebriata, celebrate keveleta, jati kabarate, jete kabriata, rakapate kabata, rakapate kebeta, en shalam briaski veta. Insist that I will not live here the same way I came. You must have an experience of the love of Christ. Jati mbaruskiata, en rakapate kebeleta, bambru celebriata, en shalabarate keveleta, jete kabarate kabeleta, shata barate kavliriata, rakapate kabarate, en shatim barusgiata, rakapate kabeleta, jete barate kavliata, rakapate kabalata. As the word will be coming to thee, O God, I experience the love you have for me, that through this experience, rate kubeta, I will no longer be scared. Jate barata, en kambrondiata. Fear can leave you today if only you can see and know how much God loves you. If only you can see and know how much God loves you, you will experience the love. Raka pate kabriyanata, jale parate kabeleta, raka pate kabriyata. If you want to experience the love of Christ, the advantage of loving Jesus, jate kabarata, you have to know how much Raka pate kapriata tha, reka pate kapela priate, rakam rekum reka vilata, zele priana kaveleta, zete kaparate kapeleta, raka pate kapeleta. Oh God, grant me an understanding of how much you love me, zele bruskiata, raka pate kapeleta, and that by this understanding I rise above fear. Barato celebrianeta, embrando celimbriate, esalambriate cabalata, jata cabriate cabeleta, racapate cabrianata, esambrando celembrandicata, racapate cabeleta, jete parate cabeliata, embrando celimbriante, racapate cuveleta. In the name of Jesus we pray.
The love the Lord has given to you is a question the Lord is asking. Are you satisfied with the love He has given to you? Hallelujah.
Kind of love, I've never seen. Kind of love, no man can give. This kind of love, no man can give. This kind of love, no man can give.
satisfied for it. Satisfied with the love you show me. I'm satisfied for it. I am satisfied, satisfied with the love you give me. And satisfied forever. I am satisfied with the love you show me. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sea, your name is to be Lord Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sea, your name is to be so like a bride in need of a groom. So I got over like a I have crossed the wildest mountain. I have dropped all of my idols. You are the only one that makes sense to me. So I got
So you have to make my instrument voice, just one microphone that is working. Like a bride in need of a groom, so I run.
I have drawn all of my riders. You are the only one that makes sense to me. So I come love
Father, I want to thank you this morning. We lay our crowns before you. We cast our tools. We have cast our idols. We cast all that matters to us. Because you are the only thing that matters to us, Father. Just like that song says. It says, I have crossed the hottest deserts. I have dumped all of my idols, for you are the Holy One, the only being on earth, the only entity, the only thing on earth that makes sense, that matters to us. So Lord, we have come to your presence. So you have not called the seed of Jacob to seek you in vain. So Lord, we are gathered at your feet. We are to you, speak to us, we will understand. Reveal the excellency of your word to us, cause the doors of all trance to be opened today, to the glory and honor of your holy name, in Jesus' name. Permit me sing this song before I start. I empty myself before your holy throne. Since last week's Sunday, where I went to minister at the Zonal Headquarters Church, this song has just been wired up in me. I just find myself singing every now and then. I empty myself before your holy throne. I humble myself before your holy throne. I naked myself before your holy throne. Can I pretend to you who sees all things? Can I pretend to you who knows all things? I empty myself before your holy throne. You might not understand that song. I empty myself before your holy throne. By flesh shall no man prevail. I humble myself before your holy throne. By strength no man shall prevail. I humble myself before your holy throne. Can I pretend to you who knows my name? Can I pretend to you who sees secrets? I empty myself before your holy throne. I humble myself before your holy throne. I humble myself before your holy throne. So today we are discussing Tetelestai, the perfected love of Christ. Tetelestai, the perfected love of Christ. I'm going to start with a common scripture that even the babe from the womb understands. I'm not saying the babe in the womb knows the scripture, but even while the babies in the womb, many of them that has been quoted to them even in the womb. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but everlasting life. The basis of all that God did. But I want us to have a basic understanding that beyond all the revelations we have about John 3:16, the basic understanding there was that God gave. He gave what a man cannot give. He gave his only begotten son. I was telling someone that there are only two people that can truly understand that dimension. And guess who it is? Abraham and Job. Those are the two people that can truly understand that dimension of what God did. The Bible told us that God told Abraham to take Isaac, his only begotten son, to go slay on Mount Moriah. And the Bible told us that Abraham obediently took that boy to the mountain. And as he was about to slay the boy, the Bible told us that God opened his eye and he saw a ram with its horn locked up in the thicket. But I told somebody that Isaac drew like that, because God wanted to see if Abraham could give all that he had in pursuit of God. So in as much in his heart he had slain Isaac, I tell you, Isaac truly died that day. Because just like I said something, he said if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he didn't say if a man sleeps with a woman, he says if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he has done what? He has had his way with her. So also, since Abraham in his heart had slain Isaac, I believe Isaac died that day. So Abraham is the only one, and Job rather, had the only set of people that truly understand the dimension of giving their only begotten. Though in Job's case, it was not his only begotten, it was all his begotten. In one single day, they were all gone. News of calamity just kept coming for Job. Oh, your flocks, oh, your children, oh, your this, oh, your that. the midst of that, he chose not to disdain the name of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the proof of love is what? His giving. God gave.
Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be alone, Adonai. Adonai.
So permit me to tell us a story. Before I tell us that story, there was a woman who I saw a content early last week that truly blessed me. Sophie Olan. S-O-P-H-I-E-O-L-A-N. Sophie Olan. She's a Nigerian. I think she's based in Ilorin. I want us to go back home. You could take time to listen to what she said, because I don't necessarily have everything in my head. But she was truly explaining the love of Jesus, the price he had paid. But let me tell us the story. A group of lawyers went to defend the case somewhere, and after the case had been set through, the case had been adjourned in court, these lawyers had put tickets. Welcome, man. We celebrate you greatly. Can we celebrate Mrs. Noel and Haiti? Celebrate you, man. After the case had been adjourned in court, these men had their tickets. The two lawyers had their tickets to go home. But a pastor approached them, and the pastor said, I have a way you could travel for free without having to waste your money. And they said, no, we have booked our tickets, so we are flying with our ticket. He said, no, you must go with me. So they agreed, follow this pastor on his chartered plane. The man said, out of all reasoning, he did not know why he agreed to follow this pastor. So when they got to the hangar, they saw this nice private jet, or this, and they saw it was a shiny private jet. And as they entered, the pilot looked experienced. The way he took off the ground, everything, you would know that this pilot truly knows what he's doing. This pilot has everything. He has the knowledge. He knows how to fly a plane. Clap for him. So as we're in the air, suddenly there was a cloud. The day was cloudy actually, and then the pilot saw a cloud, and he turned to the lawyer and said, we're approaching a cloud, but there's something the cloud does to me. It knocks me off. So what that means is that when you break into a stormy cloud, I just slip off. I become lifeless. Jesus is Lord.
In the middle of the air, are you joking? Pilot, you're the one that's going to take us to the airport, and we're not in the air. You're telling us that each time you break into a stormy cloud, you shut off, like you just shut down. And as the man finished speaking, the pilot collapsed, just went off, was blank, could not say anything, was just there, was not moving. And these are lawyers. Lawyers do not know how to fly a plane. This other guy is a pastor. The best he can do is la pass, give up a pie, break the bone, get like a pie, a little bit like a pie. But he does not fly the plane. Also, my honor, I beg to differ, whatever lawyers say in court, does not fly the plane. So, the lawyer was seated close to the pilot, and the other lawyer was behind him. I don't even know where the pastor was seated, because in his discussion, thing about the pastor again. So he handed over the, you know, there's always this stuff they used to communicate with the tower. He handed over to the lawyer, and said, just begin to call for help. And they're shouting, help, 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 help. Hello, hello, who's there? Help. And then a voice came back and replied, what the heck is wrong with you? Don't you have an understanding, the basic understanding of how to communicate? And he said, no, we don't. Oh, we're in trouble. Our pilot has fainted. And I said, okay, no problem. I'm on my way to Korea. What I'm going to do is I'm going to circle around, because if I should lose you, you die. So the man was circling around them and he called the tower. And then tower responded and spoke to them and told them, this is what you have to do for me. You are heading towards a mountain and you are about 5 minutes to that mountain. But this is what I need you to do. I need you to obey my voice diligently. My sheep know my voice. And what? They obey me. I just need you to follow the sound of my voice. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at anything. Don't listen to any other person. Just follow voice and you'll be safe. So the man said, who am I not to obey your voice? At this point in time, if I don't obey your voice, I die. If I obey your voice, I can still die. So it's better obey your voice and die than die without obeying your voice. So he said, they just kept telling him, do this, do that. He said, for a while, I'm going to go silent. But I need to understand, I'm seeing you. You cannot see me. I can see you. I'm going to go silent for a while. After I'm coming back. But I can see you. You can't see me. So please just wait patiently for my voice. So, after a while, he came back again. And said, now, you are close to the landing. You will see lights in form of a cross. Just identify the cross and land by the cross. And the man said, eventually he landed the plane 11 times. He says that the plane, you know, he doesn't know how to land the plane, so the plane just come, bam, climbed up again, bam. The 11th time the plane landed. And then the voice in the tower said, it's here. You for obeying my voice. Thank you for listening to me. Said, I've watched many destroyed. I've watched many perished. I've seen many perished for not listening to my voice. They can't see me, but they don't know that I see them. So the next day, that night, they took them to a hotel to lodge them. And then the next morning, a man appeared, said, hello, David, good morning. And the next thing, the lawyer cried and said, oh, you were the voice that rescued me yesterday. This is it. There's only one man. There's only one person that can save us. That's the person of Jesus. But before we do that, let me actually take us through a series of events. I need us to understand that when God created man for the essence of fellowship. What did I say? God created man for the essence of fellowship. Now, man was created to listen solely to the voice of God. Remember, the Bible told us that the Lord will come in the cool of the night to have fellowship with man. But when man had fallen, the first question he asked man when he came for fellowship was, Adam, where are you? He said, I heard thy voice, and I hid myself while I was naked. Do you know the reason why man was running from the voice of his master? He had another voice. What did I say? He had another voice that convinced him otherwise. And the voice he had was the voice of the devil that led him into rebellion, and he lost his state with God. Because it was the glory of God that covered man. It was the glory of God that overshadowed man. Man was built to house the glory of God. Now and then, when the glory of God comes down, we begin to fall under the anointing. But naturally speaking, the glory of God was meant to be a cloth, a covering upon us that we can carry him as a mantle. Because man fell, the glory departed, Ichabod. The glory departed from man. And man discovered that he was naked. Why? He listened to a strange voice. So after that, man could no longer have close relationship with God, except that there was something called an atonement. At one ment. If you look at the word atonement, if you break it apart, it says at one ment. So man had to shed blood. The Bible speaking of Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says the life of the thing is in the blood. So for man to have fellowship with God, there was a need for man to slay bulls, translate dove, turtle dove, so he can reach, he can reconnect to the master. But God was not interested in sacrifice, because all of those sacrifices could not necessarily take away man's sin. It could only avert the wrath of God over man, but it could not wipe away sins. There's a song we used to sing growing up. Word can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Word can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the only thing that could truly cleanse me and make man clean, reconnect man so that man can come boldly to the throne of grace, was the blood of Jesus. That's why God had to give up his only begotten son to die for man. Paul says, no greater love at any man than this, that a man should lay down his life for another. So the essence of the death of Jesus was for the cleansing of sin, was for the atonement of sin. In fact, the Bible calls him the propitiation of our sins. Now, help me just understand that Jesus was called the Son of Man. But he was Son of Man because he was born through a woman. But he did not come on account of men, a man and a woman coming together. No, he came because the Holy Ghost brooded upon a woman and infused her with an holy seed. So he was a man without sin. But guess what? The Bible says that he became sin for our sake. Going to the book of Leviticus, the Bible tells us how atonement was truly done. The offender will come to the priest with a lamb, and he will lay his hands. You can read from Leviticus chapter 1 to chapter 4, and then from there you can go to chapter 17 down to chapter 30 to understand many of the things I'm going to be talking about today. The offender has to lay his hand. We will not be able to go into it for the sake of time, so you can go back and read Leviticus chapter 1 to verse 7, and then Leviticus chapter 1 to chapter 4, and Leviticus chapter 17 to chapter 30. The offender would have to lay his hand upon the sacrifice, and what that meant was that there was being a transfer of his sins into that animal, and then the animal will be let out of the camp. An animal that had no sin now takes the sin of man. This one, the Bible says, here comes the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of man. That's what John said when he saw Jesus. Here comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. Meaning, here comes the Lamb on which the sin, the iniquities of men will be transmitted unto, and he takes it away. Tetelestai. That was the last statement of Jesus. Anyway, I'm going to explain that later on, but I'm coming somewhere. So the only ministry which man can be reconnected to the Father is through Jesus. Little one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except what? Through me. So the only access to God's presence, it doesn't matter how wise you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how long you have stayed in the church, until you come to know the fact that the only saving grace is Christ Jesus, and you make that confession boldly with your mouth. The Bible says, through heart we believe, and then through mouth we make confession unto salvation, unto righteousness. There are many people who all that they do is they hear about Jesus, they hear about the salvation of Jesus, but they've never for once confessed him as their Lord and personal Savior. So on account of that, they are only sinners dwelling in the temple. Because until you confess with your mouth, salvation isn't yours. You have to confess and believe him. Confess with your mouth unto salvation that Jesus Christ truly is Lord. So the only pathway into the love of the Father, the only way for us to be reconnected in fellowship with God is through Jesus. So Jesus has had to come to be that propitiation to die for us on the cross. I know in the next month we're going to be entering into Easter, right? where we're going to, the church is going to be expressly through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It is for a reason. So he who knew no sin had to take up the sin of you and I. I was telling someone, I think last year or 2 years ago, I said what kept Jesus on the cross was not truly nails. I wish you understand that. The Bible told us that when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, he said, whom seeketh thou? And they said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said something, I am he. The minute he said that, the Bible told us that they all fell apart. That was the first dimension of people following the anointing. Say amen. That was the first dimension of people what? So you see people following the anointing in the meeting. Jesus Christ was going to start it. He says, I am he. And they all fell to the ground. When they stood up again, he asked them, whom seeketh thou? They said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This time around, he allowed them. He says, I can ask my father to send legions. That's when Peter cut that guy's ear off. So Jesus Christ had everything possible to, you know, not go through that pain. But he knew, in fact, there was a time he was praying, he said, if thou will, let this cup pass over me and all of that. But he knew that it was the necessary thing that had to be done for man to be reconnected to the Father. So what kept Jesus on the cross for me was not the nails. Was the love he had for you and I. He looked at the Father and looked at the sheep. Just like in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep. Looked at the sheep and said, I would rather go through this pain to ensure that that one lost sheep can be reconnected to the Father. So it was his love that kept, his love for us that kept him on the cross. So his last word on the cross was tetelestai. And tetelestai means it is finished. In English word, in English it is three words. I-T-I-S-F-I-N-I-S-H-E-D. It is finished. But in reality, it was a single word in Greek. Tetelestai. And this is what it means. It means that the price that needs to be paid has been paid. It has been fulfilled. It has been accomplished. Now, permit me to tell us another story. In the ancient days, when an offender is caught and is charged to prison, there's something called the indictment notes. An indictment note will be written which comprises of all the sin that the person has ever committed. And for each of those sins, there will be a judgment given. This one, 2 years imprisonment. For stealing goats, 1 year imprisonment. For killing someone, 10 years imprisonment. Everything will be stated boldly on the indictment note. And as the year goes by, each of your offense will be crossed out until all of the sentences have been observed. And then the indictment note will be brought to a judge. And the judge will stand boldly on it across all of those offenses. Tetelestai. Which means all of the offenses that have been captured in this indictment note has been paid for in full. So that each time the guy steps out of prison and is what people say, you guy, you're meant to be in prison. He brings his indictment note to show that the price paid. I've gone through all that it takes to clear the sin I committed, to clear the offense I've committed. Tetelestai has been paid in full. So just as after that word, what he said is that all that needs to be paid for the remission of our sin has been perfected. Mean he crossed out everything. Says, I paid it in full. I paid it with my blood. I paid it with my love. I must understand that the proof of love is in how much you can give. It's so much love that he gave up his life. Cancel our debts. Every man born of a woman is born of evil. Has evil locked up in his heart. But Jesus Christ came to strike out the laws of sin and death. The Bible says, through one man, sin crept into the world, and that one man was Adam. It says, yet also through one man as well, salvation entered. And that one man is Jesus. So what he did when he said to Celestine, he said, I paid the price. I've gone through the pain. The price of the sin that has been committed on me, or that has been committed, I have paid it on the cross with my blood. Little wonder when they pierced him to see if he was still alive, what gushed out was water and blood. The water of sprinkling to cleanse us, to rejuvenate us. The Bible says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal body as well. So the fact that he gave up the ghost, he died for you you and I, he had cancelled every debt. No wonder Paul said, let no man trouble me, for I know my body what? The mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the mark talking about. That the mark had cancelled every ordinance, every debt, every cost. That if the Bible says that he took away every cost, because the Bible says cost is a man who hangeth upon the cross. So he became a cross for you and I. Another analogy is that when a craftsman is done carrying out the assignment given to him, we're given an artisan a job to do. When he's done fulfilling, the next thing he says, tetelestai. Meaning, I have finished the assignment that you gave me. So just like I said tetelestai on the cross of Calvary, what he was telling the Father is that I have finished the assignment you sent me here on earth. My days might have been few on the surface of the earth, but Father, I have finished the work. Now glorify yourself in me. So the proof of his love was that he completed the work of salvation, so that you and I can be connected to the Father. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, what he meant was, he defended the world, he protected the world, and he sacrificed himself for the world. He looked at it, no lamb, no goat, no dove, no turtle dove can actually cleanse man from his sin. So he looked at it, the only thing that can save man is for me to give myself in exchange for man. There's a story my elder brother told me one time. I can't remember, I think I was in secondary school. Let me quickly tell us the story before I move on. It's the story of a young man. He is a twin. My elder brother is also a twin. The person telling him is a twin. And he's telling me a story of twins. Right? The young man killed some spirits. And this guy is a terrible boy. Terrible guy. They've been preaching Christ to him. It's just a story to the anyway. They've been preaching Christ to him and he does not care to accept Christ. In fact, it's like, who is that Christ? And all of that. So he came on and then he was chased to the door. He ran inside. The identical twins. And the police was knocking and beating at the door to arrest him. And once they arrest him, he's dead sentence. He came in with blood all over him. He cannot claim he did not kill the person. Every part of his body is filled with blood. And he's still holding the weapon. So who killed the person? Him. There's no way he can escape that case. So the twin brother saw him coming in. The guy was dressed in blood. The twin brother cleansed him up. They gave him his own clothes and put on the guy's clothes and came out. And so when they brought him to court, the court sentenced him to death. But remember, it was his twin brother that killed. So they killed him in replacement for the... Because brother knew that if I should die now, straight to heaven. But this one, if they should kill him. And when that happened, the young man actually gave his life to Christ. But what that was symbolizing was the fact that that was exactly what Jesus Christ did. When we were filled with iniquity, and no one had ever said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, those that run into it are saved, and all of that. And we ran into his name. All he did was he exchanged our garment for his garment. He took the garment of sin upon himself and gave us the garment of righteousness. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. The Bible never said he became a sinner. Jesus was never a sinner when he was here on earth. But what happened was that he who knew no sin became sin for our sake. So he took upon himself the sin of man, the sin of mankind, so that man can go scot-free. So the Sophie woman essentially listened to her quote. This is what she's saying. Jesus has paid all the price. Why still go through the pain? Jesus has taken the lashes. He has gone through everything. He was flogged. In fact, the Bible tells us that our chastisement was upon him. So why do we still have to try to strive to save ourselves when he has paid the price already? The price of the love, the perfect love he gave for us, was to yield his life. Giving you money is not sufficient. If all I can give you is money, yes, that's a proof of love. But that's not the best proof of love. The best proof of love is the quality of my life I can lay down for you. And the purest of life was the life of Jesus that was laid down for mankind. I want us to understand that when we talk about love in this, it is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Love can evoke feelings. Love can evoke emotions. But in reality, the love we're talking about here is eternal. The love of God. In Luke 15, he told us how the heart of the Father is still. still panting for as many who are still lost in the world. I know many of us here are saved. So why are we listening to this since we are saved? This is the essence. So you can understand the pain the master had to go through to save you. So if the master can go through that pain to save you, you are also expected to be an extension of his salvation to those who are in the world. You, every one of us here, are members of the workforce. And I'm not saying automatically that we are not, our work with God is perfect. But I believe that every one of us has confessed the Lord Jesus as a Lord, our personal Savior. I will send me a altar call in case if there's a need for anyone to reconnect to the Father. But why is this message coming? So that we can go out there into the world and extend the love. If God can open our eyes to see hell, God never created hell for man. Hell was created for Satan and his demons. So if God can open your eyes to see the state of hell, you will not want your enemy. And I always say, why should you even have enemy? You will not want your enemy to go to hell if you see the state of hell. God tells us that the flames of hell are so thick. For me, I believe they are thicker than the curtains of the tabernacle. The price. So guess what? He has given us the assignment of ambassage. And what do we mean by ambassage? It means that we have been called to go and save others. We were not saved so that we can go to heaven alone. No. I know we used to sing heavenly race. I know go tire, heavenly race. Yes, that's fine. Heavenly race is not a personal race. Yes, it's a personal journey. But it does not mean that only you have to make it to heaven. No, you were saved so that you can go out there to save others. You were saved so you can proclaim the salvation of Christ to as many who are still lost in the world. It is your assignment to take the gospel of the love of Christ. It says that the knowledge of God will fill the earth like the water of the sea. You and I are the vessel through which he wants to express that love to the world. So quickly, let's talk about the proof of love. We've seen how much love God had for us. For the sake of time, I'm not able to dig deeper, but we can do personal studies to understand that love. Let's take John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30, actually. And then we'll run to Matthew 27, verse 51. Then I'll move on to what I wanted to talk about, the proof of love. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, oh my David. Hosanna, yeah. Hosanna, 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 oh my David. It says, after Jesus, look at this. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, meaning that all the requirements. In the ancient days, you and I do not dare step into the holies of holies. But nowadays, you think I enter into the holy of holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. That's true. You're entering through what? The blood. Back then, no one dared enter into the holies of holies. One young man tried to even help the Ark of Covenant about to fall. He was struck down. That's true. The truck of the Ark of Covenant outside the Holy of Holies, he was struck to death. How about you now strolling into the Holy of Holies? But now he has paid the price. So he's telling unto us, come boldly to the throne of grace, that ye may obtain what? Help in the time of need. So in the ancient days, the courts were divided. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court were where all the children of Israel dwelt. So when they come for atonement or they come for any sacrifice, they all dwell. Now, it may look as if I'm discussing Jewish things and Hebrew things, but there's a need for me to say all of these things so you can understand the state we were. So all they could do was to stay in the outer court, come with their sacrifice, and the priest will come to the outer court, who will sprinkle upon them, get their sacrifice, and take it to go and slay on the altar in the inner court. Then there was a place called the Holies of the Holies. Only the high priest can enter. And the Bible tells us even the high priest cannot enter anyhow. The high priest enters once in a year. And the high priest does not just enter. The high priest also stay a sacrifice. The atonement one sin first and then atonement for the sins of the children of Israel before he can enter into the place of holies. And guess what? Even after that, they will still tie a chain to his leg. Many of us know that story, right? They will still tie a chain to his leg. says if the atonement was not accepted and God killed him, nobody can go and bring his dead body from the holies of holies. So what they will do is, and funny enough, they can spend days in God's presence. Moses spent how many days? 40 times 2. 80. He went before. To show you how much he enjoyed the presence of God.
I enter into the holy of holies. I enter through the Lord of the land.
The first time he went, he got the tablets. He came, saw the nonsense of Israel doing. He broke it. Me. And the normal woman be like 40 days, you're not going back. But Moses knew what he was enjoying, God's presence. It was not like us. I would say, okay, 40 days, I'll not go. Because people, and that 40 days, people should perish in your sins. He went back again to enjoy that 40 days without food. So when he heard just like fasting 40 days and 40 nights, it was not Jesus that was the first person to do it. In fact, Moses did twice what Jesus did. 80 days, 40 days, 40 nights, and that 40 days, 40 nights. So he was there in God for 40 days. So the priest came here for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. They'll shake the one. We've not seen this guy come out. They'll shake it. So to prove that he's alive, he will drag his feet. So when there's a tension on that chain, you understand that the priest is still alive in the holies of holies. Day two, he does the same thing. But when they drag the chain and then there's no response, that the Ruach Elohim has slain this guy. So they drag the chain out of the holies of holies. So even the priest was not safe in the holies of holies. If his sin was not properly accounted for, he would be slain at the altar. Praise the Lord, just strike him dead. But now we can come boldly to the throne of grace because a man paid the price. In ancient days, I don't have the right to stand on the altar. Come on now. I'm not of the Levites. Anyway, by birth, I actually belong to the Levite family. Because my parents are pastors. So by that, I belong to the lineage of the Levites. Isn't it? But a normal human being cannot just come to the altar and say, okay, it's time for offering. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you have your offering, stretch it to the Lord. You climb this place. What happens to you? Bam! The angel strikes you down. But now we can come boldly. We can even do choreography. How many of you love when we do choreography in church? We can do choreography, do drama, do all sorts of things. Sometimes you can even come and play, dance all series of. Because a man. Now I'm not saying he paid all of those price so there can be lasciviousness in the church. Please understand what I'm saying. He didn't pay the price so we can begin to live a life of lasciviousness. Because he paid the price so we begin to live the life. Let me tell you one thing. When he died and he gave up his life, the minute you accept him as our Lord and personal Savior, our life was no longer ours. Tell your neighbor, your life is no longer yours. Ask your neighbor, who is the owner of your life? If your neighbor is saying it's to change your neighbor, or you have to preach to your neighbor, your life is no longer yours. There's a song, Minister Tibula's song is saying, it says, the life I now live is not my own. The life that I now live is not my own. I'm trying to get the beginning of the song now. I've been offered to a deity. The life that I now live is not my own. Come take it together. I've been offered to a deity. The life that I now live is not my own. Spend my life and rip the nations to you. That's the call God is making. We've been offered to a deity. We've been offered to God. Little wonder he said in the book of Romans, that we should present ourselves unto God a holy living sacrifice. You're expected to die to flesh daily because the life you now live is not yours. Can we quickly go to Colossians chapter 3 verse 3? Let's see something. Colossians 3:3. If you are there, say amen. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. So the life you are living is no longer yours. Yes, you are breathing, you are living, but in reality, the life no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. You lost your life the very day you accepted him. If I used to tell people, at salvation, you did not accept the life of Jesus. Okay, sorry, you didn't give your life to Christ, rather. Because we used to say it in church, give your life to Christ. No. What would you see, if somebody should give you your life, what would you do with it? The life you are living now, somebody give it to you as a gift, would you collect it? No, ask yourself that question. Like, the state of your life now, it is given to you as a gift, would you accept it? So when you say you are giving your life to Christ, it's just a theological term. In reality, we are accepting the life of Christ. We are accepting a higher quality of life, which is the life of Jesus Christ. So he yielded his life as a proof of love to us. Colossians 3:3, are we there now? So can we take it together? 1, 2, 3, go. For ye are dead. Can we take it together? Take it again, rather. For ye are what? Now, it might not make sense because it's like you are talking in second person. Now, personalize it. 1, 2, 3, go. I am dead and my life is hid with Christ and Christ in God. Let's go to verse 4. When Christ, who is my what? When Christ, who is my what? So which life are you living? Which life are you living? The life of Christ. So the life you are now living is no longer yours, but the life of Christ. So we are expected to also spread that life. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little life of mine, I'm gonna let it spread. Let it spread, let it spread, let it spread. Our assignment is to spread that life that we have received. We were once dead in our trespasses. Each time I read the book of Ephesians, I cry. It says, ye which were once aliens to the commonwealth of Christ. It says, you were without hope. That one did not pay me. It says, without God. So there was a time. Can we please go there? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 2, rather, verse 11. It says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in made by hands. Now verse 12. It says that at that time ye were without what? Ye without what? Christ. And ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But he now goes back to tell us, but now, in who? In who? Come on, echo it. But now in who? Christ Jesus. Let's take this again now. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are now being made nigh by the what? The blood of Jesus Christ. So, if we go back to Matthew chapter 25, 27 verse 51, the Bible tells us that the moment he yielded up the ghost, something happened. He said the veil at the temple was rent away from the top to the bottom. When Jesus Christ died, what happened? An earthquake happened, right? So when earthquake happened, where does the force start from? I want you to answer this question. Where does the force start from? From the bottom, right? When earthquake happens, everything begins to tear from the bottom up. But the Bible says that he rent the veil of the temple twain. From what? From the top. It was God telling us that I have separated the walls of partition. He tore it open so we can now gain access. Back then, you can't enter. Let's assume you even by mistake, you enter into the inner court. You dare not enter the holies of holies. At the moment Jesus Christ dies, God rents the veil twain to say now you can now come boldly to the throne of grace. You can now come into the holies of holies on account of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has paid. So each time we enter into God's presence, we begin to feel the warmth of his embrace. We begin to feel his power touching us and people are falling under the anointing. What happened is that we are now getting access into the what? The holies of holies.
I enter into the holy of holies. I enter through the glory. I enter to worship his holy. I enter to honor I am. Our ammo, if we know ya Jesus, equal ammo. Our ammo, if we know ya Jesus, equal ammo.
We have just one microphone, so there's no way the worship team can back me up.
Our ammo, if we know ya Jesus, equal ammo. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, oh. With my Savior, I'm in love, I'm
till I overflow. The song says, in a generation of so many empty people, people who confess the love of Christ but in reality it's only on their lips. He says, these ones are drawn to me by their lips, but their heart does not reflect the love that their lip confesses. In a generation of so many empty people who are professing empty love, Lord, I want to be like you. If you me, Jesus, I'm hungry for your love. I'm desperate for your love. I want to be like you, Jesus. That is the hallmark of love. If you want to be like the Master, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, that as you behold him through your love, you want to be transformed into his image. So what is the proof of love? Number one, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That's back to that song. I empty myself. I'll take this away now. I offer myself before your holy throne. I offer myself before your holy throne. I offer myself before your holy throne. Can I pretend to you who sees secrets? Can I pretend to you who knows all things? I offer myself before your holy throne. So the first proof of love, if you truly love God, is that you offer yourself unto him as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a holy living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service unto the Lord. So the proof of love is what? You offer yourself to him as a sacrifice. And remember, it's a living sacrifice. So that doesn't mean you not go to pain. See, I don't tell people when you come to Christ, there will be no pain in your life. No. What it means is that when you come to Christ, it will make things work out to your favor. But that doesn't mean that there will be no testing times, there will be no trying times. Was Job not living a life perfect before the Lord? Yes, he was. But was there a time of trial? Yes, there was. As a matter of fact, Job's trouble was God. What did I say? Job's trouble was God. Job was sitting gently, offering sacrifice to God every day, praying to God every day. And then here comes Satan in a meeting, in a family meeting. Bible says the Son of God were gathered and the devil appeared. So that said that the devil just say what? That's a Son of God. May the Lord grant you understanding. Say amen. So why the sons of God were gathered, devil appeared, and God did not say, what are you doing here? If a stranger, when you guys are in family and a stranger enters, what's the first question people ask him? What are you doing here? Isn't it? You don't belong to this family. What are you doing here? But God did not say, Satan, what are you doing here? God said, where have you been? Your elder brother has not been at home for like 3 years and he appears. What's the first question that you ask? Johnny, where have you been? So God asked the devil, where have you been? The guy said, I've been going up and back, up and about the surface of the earth. And Job was sitting gently in his house. I believe Job was sleeping and God said, come. Have you seen my servant Job? Job was right before the Lord. Everything was done was perfect before the Lord. Even God boasted of Job. But it was a season of trial. God wanted to bring out something more greater, something glorious out of his life. That's why the Bible says that we should not account the suffering we are passing through right now. We should not just take it to heart, because it is to bring out of us a greater glory. So I won't tell you that if you come to Jesus, there will be no pain. No. There will be days of trial. He has made provision for you to escape the pain. He says there's no temptation that man goes through that is beyond his capacity. Meaning God will not tempt us beyond our capacity. No, he's not a wicked father. I cannot set the example for SS1 and bring question from 300 level. I don't know if you understand what I just said. I can't set an example for GSS1 and I'm bringing question from SS3. No, God is not a wicked father. So every temptation you go through is something that he has given you the capacity to overcome. But if you did not overcome, it's because you did not understand the provisions made for you. So number one proof is that you will offer yourself to him as a living what? Sacrifice. Can we go to 1 John 3 verse 1 to 6? 1 John 3:1-6. It says this: behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, what does he do? He purifieth himself, even as Jesus the Master is. So offer yourself as a living sacrifice. It involves you bringing yourself under consecration and sanctification. You are presenting yourself to God as that spotless bride, that blameless lamb. Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in the room, sweeping in the room. Here comes the glory of the Lord. God is doing something. Sweeping in the room, sweeping in the room. Now you wait for that to say in verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So whosoever abideth in him, what? Sinneth not. And whosoever does not sin, whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. So the proof of love is that we offer ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. All I have brought is a sacrifice, a sacrifice of me. Many of us might not know that song, but there's a song we used to sing. Receive this living sacrifice, I am your worship. Come on. I said this living sacrifice, I am your worship. So scratch that. I said proof of love, right? No. Let's put it this way. How to replicate the love. So it's not just proof. It's actually how to replicate the love. Because if you replicate, number one, you will give yourself a sacrifice. Two, you will love others as yourself. What did I say? You will extend that love to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he told us that we have been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. It's our assignment to go into the world and reach out to those who are lost. So it takes one who has been saved to save the one who is lost. Do you hear what I just said? It takes one who has been saved to save the one which is lost. So God saved you because you want to save others. Bishop David Oyedepo said one thing one time. He said, give him 10 members. He said, give him 10 members, and he knows that in many years you have thousands of members. He said, that 10 members will go and bring 10 members. Who will bring 10 members? Who will also bring 10 members? If you check the number very well, what are we approaching? Approaching billions of people. So God saved you so he can save another person. So if God saved you and you saved 10 people, how many people have God won to the kingdom through you? 11 people. Now, if each of the 10 people God used you to save also win 10 people, 10 times 10, 100, 100 plus 10, 110 plus 1, 111. Can you see God's maths? Come on now, God's maths is interesting. Just one soul has brought about what? 111 souls. And that's just the beginning of that computation. So God saved you so it can be an extension of salvation to other people. So the question is, how many people have you led to Christ? How many people have you revealed the love of Christ? And remember, revealing the love of Christ is not just by saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I tell people, the best way to preach the love of God is by having your life revealing the love. Why were men following Jesus? Do you think it was because of the message alone? No. There were times that you would say something, they feel like stoning him, but they will still come back. So it was not only the message that kept them coming to Jesus. There was a life that Jesus Christ was revealing, and it was a life of love. The Bible told us that he ate, he dined with the what? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. Those were the people he was dining with. He was revealing love to them in their state. But nowadays, we live in a generation where all we do is to condemn those who are in the world. You don't save them by condemning them. You save them by revealing to them a higher life. What I say? You save the lost by to hell, he will tell you, you and I will meet there. But when you show him your life, and your life is communicating love, it is easy for such a man to come in contact with the love of Christ. So, revealing the love of God is not just by saying, if you don't give your life to Christ, now you will die. No, it's about your life reflecting the love. And they are trying to describe love, and all they can say is Jennifer. They are trying to describe love, and all they can say is precious, divine. So, Ludo, peace. They meet up there, and our mommy, Mrs. Peace, among many other people. Right? That when you want to define love, the first person they will point out is you. Why do you think they call them Christians? Because they looked like Christ. So if you want to define love, you should be able to use your life also as a parameter for love. You want to judge how much to love, you should be able to use your life as a yardstick, as a test tool to measure love. Second thing, the third thing rather, kingdom pursuit. What I say? Kingdom pursuit. Kingdom pursuit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. It says, and every other thing shall be added unto you. So the way you reciprocate the love, number one, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Number two, loving others as yourself. Live a selfless life. I learned that the meaning of joy is not what you think joy is. We joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. Let me tell you the meaning of joy. Jesus first, other next, yourself last. Do you know what I just said? Jesus first, others next, yourself last. That is the meaning of joy in the kingdom. So, putting others, esteeming others, love your neighbors as yourself. In fact, the greatest commandment was encapsulated in love. Love to the Father and love to the ones you can see. Just like I said, how can you claim you love me when you can't love the ones that you see? How can you love a father that is invincible when you cannot love his product that is visible? Kingdom pursuit. You are panting after that men will come to the kingdom. By kingdom pursuit, I'm not just saying giving to the work of God. It is part of it. It's crucial because the transportation of evangelism is what? It's money. Try to evangelize with money and see. You will trek to the crusade ground. You will shout because there's no microphone. You will do all sorts of things. You will get tired. Maybe it's only one person that will hear you. Others is the noise from the congregation that you're hearing. But now with speakers, you can easily reach out to them, right? So the gospel rides on the wings of what? Of money. But that's not all that there is. If you are one of those who cannot stand before people and preach the gospel, there's another way you can do it. You can go into the secret place and pray for the lost. The Bible says that if our gospel be hid, it is from them whom the prince of this world has blinded their eyes. So spend time in the place of prayer. Lord, I pray over this territory. And you're praying over that territory. Lord, that men will be saved. That men will be redeemed into the kingdom. You are shy to go preach, but you can pray that the souls of men will be won. You can pray for those who God will use to save the souls of men. So pursuing the kingdom through prayer, through giving, and going for evangelism. But if you are one of those who cannot evangelize, you can still evangelize by meeting people one-on-one. Social media has made it easy. Isn't it? Once in a while, post a content on social media. A content of love. No condemnation. Post content of love on social media. Let people know that God truly loved them. That's if you are shy to go out to preach the gospel. In fact, the easiest way to preach the gospel to the people across the ends of the earth is social media. There are many people who are looking for answers on the social media. There are many people who are trying to find something that will give meaning to their life. All they are seeing is tarot card reading. Witchcraft. I've seen a couple of people send me some things about how to read your future, that you just send your name and then a woman will come. Nonsense, that one. Nobody should say, try that nonsense to kill me. People are looking for purpose in their life, so you can be that vessel through which God will reveal the love of God to the ends of the earth. You can post one. That's why I tell people, tell your neighbor, everybody's an evangelist, either you know it or not. Some of us, the only kind of pictures we post, I have to reach reached out to one of us recently. I had to scold her. I felt bad, but I needed to do it. All I was seeing on TikTok was videos of I'm seeing the navel, I'm seeing almost everything, and she's just dancing to all the stupid songs, all this Burna Boy, Huda, and everything. And I said, no, this was not the girl I raised. No. When you were a teenager, this was not the person that, by the grace of God, I was able to impact. No. Say something. I told her, is that something went wrong somewhere? It's not that I showed you the power of God, but I didn't show you God himself. Something happened along the line. She felt remorseful. She wept for a while. 2 weeks later, she went back to posting the same type of video. 2 weeks later, I didn't say 2 years later. 2 weeks later, in fact, this time around, I said, I can almost see your neighbor. That's what I told her. The next video I saw, I could literally see her belly button. 2 weeks later, after she claimed that she's sorry, she apologized. 2 weeks later, I said, Jesus, you believed in her. Because all that matters is that I've done my own. Bible says, when you see a man who is perishing and you bring him, the blood, you show him that the path is wrong, but his blood will not be requested over your head. But if I sit and I not say, then the blood will be requested where? From me. So what are the benefits of love? Number one, conformity. The benefit of the love of Christ, the perfected love of Christ, is that we'll conform to his image. See, how do I know that you have benefited from the perfected love of Christ? Is that your life begins to reflect Christ. Now when men look at you, all they see is the love of Christ. They don't have to ask you, Brother Divine, are you a Christian? No. Your lifestyle should show to them. I don't believe that Christianity is not a religion, it's a lifestyle. The mistake many of us make is we live a religion. We don't live a lifestyle. Oh, come on now. I'm not a Christian by religion. I'm a Christian by lifestyle. Men should, my appearance, they should know that Son of Light has entered. So, I sag my trousers and I'm doing all sorts of things. I'm not judging. But I'm just trying to show you now. I enter into a place. What's the first thing they think enters? Who do you think they think enters? Either they think it's a thief, or an inner boy, or a cultist. But I'm moderately dressed. I enter into a place without saying a word. They say, Kai, this one should be. I'm saying University of Abuja, running my project currently. But why we are having coursework? Because postgraduate studies, you have coursework, then you go into project work. Why we are having coursework? My course rep always drives me to Area 1. Then I'll take vehicle from Area 1 back to Massacre. Not but close to Area 1. So one time she was like, Apostle, pray for us. Except for my name, nothing tells you I'm a Christian, isn't it? I never said I run a ministry. Like, she just knew that there was a light she was seeing each time in her car. There's something that she's drawn to. I didn't have to tell her, Ma, I run a ministry. The name of the ministry is Christos Network International. No. There was a light she saw. There are some conversations that people will not be able to bring to you. You know what I said? When your friend is telling you, Afa, it's doing me like we just entered Juma. Let's just enter one house, beat them up and come out. It's because they seem like someone who can commit that crime. Think about it. Someone just come and meet me and say, okay, Afa, that bank, can we go and boggle the bank? Seeing me alone, you cannot even utter that kind of nonsense. Why? There's a life that is exuding. This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. This joy that I have is the joy of the Holy Ghost. Zoe, 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 Zoe. Permit me to start from 1 John chapter 5 verse 17 to 21. Then I will go into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Then we'll move on to the next benefit. I'm going to talk about just three benefits and then we'll round up. It says this, all unrighteousness is sin and there is a sin not unto death. I won't have time to explain that now. Right? It says, we know that whosoever is born of God, sinneth what? Sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, keepeth in self. You begin to conform to the image, the sinless image of God. I'm not saying once forever saved. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying once saved, forever saved. Because some people now say, okay, I received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, and then I went back into the world, I fornicated, and still saved. My brother, you have lost it. You are not saved. A man can lose it. Just like I said, my life, I lay down, and I can pick it up again. So if Jesus Christ can pick up his life, who are you not to return the life? Think about it. So don't think you are saved once, you are forever saved. No, that's not what it means. That's why our Christian journey should be a journey of reverence to God. Every now and then you are checking your life to see if you are still in alignment with God. See if you have not lost the faith. It says, contend for the faith that was handed over to you. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the old world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding, that we may know that he is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So little children, keep yourself from what? Idols. You must conform to his image. Now, 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, it says, as we behold him like in a glass, we are being transformed from one image to another by the same Spirit of God. So we are expected to be transformed into the image of God. So of a truth, if we have encountered the perfect love of God, we are expected to be translated into the image of God. And how do we get translated? By dwelling upon the Word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. Dwell richly. That's how to conform. When you come in contact with the love of God, you must continually remind yourself through the love letters he has written to you, and that is the Word of God. Digest the Word. Spend time reading the Word of God. Spend time reading the Word of God. Spend time listening to anointed messages. Spend time reading anointed books. Unfortunately, we live in a generation where we want everybody to digest the knowledge and come and feed us, but we don't want to dig deeper. It says, dig the ancient wells. It says, ask for the ancient path. Show us your glory, O God. Show us your glory, oh. It says we should ask for the ancient path, and we should walk in it. There's an ancient path when it comes to the body of Christ. There's an ancient landmark that has been set. So don't try to bend the principles of God to suit you. Don't try to bend the scriptures to suit yourself. I remember one man was using Romans chapter 1 to preach to people about our homosexuality. I know, like I said early in the morning, a couple of our listeners, from the statistics that I got from Spotify, a couple of them said they are neither male or female. So that means that we have homosexuals who are listening to us. And I say this publicly, unapologetically to anybody. The man was saying, through Romans chapter 1, God was legalizing homosexuality. But if you read through the scripture by yourself, you understand that he said that because they refused to repent God in their knowledge, he gave them to a reprobate mind. And on account of that, they gave themselves to the lust. Man lusting after man, woman lusting after woman, and man even lusting after beast. But guess what? A man took that same scripture to legalize that it's good for homosexuality. What level of stupidity is that? And the people in that congregation were just clapping and saying, woo! Why? Because they themselves don't have an understanding of what the man was saying. When you study the scripture by yourself, it will be difficult for a man to use the word of God to confuse you. How can a man to use the same scripture that God is using to speak against homosexuality to approve homosexuality? Like I said, I know that there are many people online who are listening to us who are homosexuals. And this is me saying that it's high time you come back to your master. Either transgender or you are. Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you must conform. It's not about your head knowledge. It's not about what the norms of the society say. It's about what the scripture is saying. Your life must be conformed to the patterns of the world. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, now verse 2, we have read verse 1. If you read verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by the be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So that conformity, that renewal comes on account of us devoting ourselves to the study of the word. Chew the word of God. Job said something. He says, I have made your word my necessary food. I have esteemed your word highly as my necessary food. A man cannot live many days without eating and drinking. So what makes you think you can survive many days without studying the word? Ask yourself, how can you survive without studying the word? If you ask many of you now, when was the last time you studied the word of God? Aside in church. Meaning that it was not that you read it in church, you read it at home. Some of us will say 2 days ago, 3 days ago, some will even say last month. You'll be surprised that you hear somebody say last year. Now, if your own is last year, may Lord have mercy on you. Say amen. Come back to your lost love. Kai. We must conform to the patterns of the Father. And that means that when you come to the Father, it means that we have encountered the love of the Father. The proof that we have encountered love is that we conform to the image of the Father. Just like I said something, it says, I and the Father are what? We are one. That's good. We are one. Meaning, when you see Jesus, you are seeing the Father. When you see the Father, you are seeing Jesus. When you see Jesus, you are seeing the Holy Ghost. When you see the Holy Ghost, you are seeing Jesus. They are one. They are similar. They are the same. So when we see you, we should also see Holy Ghost. Why would people not disdain the Holy Ghost? When your lifestyle is worthy of disdain. But when your lifestyle is worthy of emulation, they will respect the Holy Spirit. I had a testimony about a great father of faith. Permit me to mention his name. Bishop David Abiodun. Now one time, people saw him at the market. Just came down from his car and began to preach. Number one, check the quality of the... You see a man come down from that car and says, I serve Jesus as the Lord and personal Savior. I don't care to know how much you have told yourself you now accept Jesus. By the time you look at that car, you see that his life has produced results. And you are seeing the result with your eye. How many of you will say, you will still not give your life to Christ? Let me see your hand up. Nobody. Because you are seeing a result. So he said, let your light so shine that they may see your what? They see your what? Good works. And after they see your good works, they will glorify the Father which is in heaven. So let's see someone, a believer as rich as Dangote, suddenly steps on the street and begin to say, praise the Lord. We're having a crusade here tomorrow by 5 p.m. We'll love to have you. In fact, let's not make it worse. He now says, when you're coming, please come with your chair, because we did not make provision for chairs. It will surprise that some people come with extra chair. Extra chair. Now, why? They've seen his good works. That's, like I said, a believer now. I'm not using Dangote in himself now. But a believer that has that same result. Everybody will flock there, because why? They can now see the good works. Such life has conformed to the master that they can see the good works through them. The second benefit is empowerment. Empowerment. John 1:12 says, for as many that believe them, he gave them the power to be called the sons of God. The way to break into the perfect love of God, the first thing he gives you is empowerment. Greater is he that is in who? In you than he that is in the world. He empowers you for greatness. Those that do know their God, they shall be what? Strong. And they shall do exploits. So the second benefit after you being conformed to the master is that your life begins to produce results. He empowers you for greatness in everything. Academically, you begin to soar high. I know you are always surprised when you see your classmate, the person that follows Jesus the most. Now, this is not true for everybody. But most of the times, you go to some classes, the person that gets first in the class, that one that was always following God. At least I know a couple of them. I can mention their name. But I won't mention them for some reasons. Some of you know them. One of my precious daughter, in a way, I've mentioned her name. Doing well for God. If you see the way this lady is burning for God. Panting up. I think some of you saw the post I made for on her birthday, right? I was commending the love of God in her life. How much she's passionate for the souls of men. I remember that time we had the other section while I was still in Ivory Tower, that we organized a month of fast. Sorry, a term of fast rather. You remember, right? a time of fast. We're fasting day one. For them, I only gave them Saturday and Sunday to enjoy themselves. For me, I was not breaking my own fast. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, till the time was over. And guess what? We entered into fire conference. Do you see what happened? Come on now. Do you think that thing just, do you think those manifestations just happened? No, the sacrifice was paid. And she was one of those frontiering. Some people break their fast 12 o'clock. She won't break her own until school is over. Most times. I told them, once it's break time, you can break your fast so that I won't kill somebody's child. To show you how much of the love. So he empowers you for greatness. Academically, in all ground. I gave a testimony this morning, right? About the abundance that God has brought through this for us this year. It's one of the empowerments as a proof of his what? Financial blessing is also an empowerment. Because it empowers on every side. It gives us rest on every side. Then the last benefit. The Bible says the path of the righteous does what? Shineth brighter and brighter and brighter unto the great and perfect day. So permit me to give us the scriptures. I could not quote for empowerment because our time is up already. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 2, 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, and 1 John chapter 4. So, chapter 4 verse 7 to 21. I told him we can take time to read that. The last one is advancement. It says, if I be lifted high upon the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The path of the righteous shineth brighter and brighter and brighter unto the great perfect day. So another benefit of the perfect love of God is that we begin to advance. And that's why God is promising us this year. This is our year of what? Spiritual advancement and expansion. Tell us about the wonderful advancement I'm getting financially. Sometimes I ask myself, God, but why are all these people coming to me? Like I said earlier on, you don't give less home lesson to a teacher that is teaching a child. My teacher, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You are the one teaching that child in the class. And the parents still pays you again to come and teach the same child. Not one, not two, not three, not four parents. And you told the child in class, the child don't understand. I didn't know if going to get under. And yet, they still didn't feel that, no, you have to. A parent even said that, I have to be the one. I said, no, there's another, because I was too busy. There's another person. No, you have to be the one. So I have to tell them, this is what we do. I will take your child. Major with another child. So she will leave her own house. I'm not paying transport fare and it's not reducing my money. Like I said, the fee for the lesson is more than school fees in Massacre. Just one child though. I'm not going to pay the child transport fare. The mother will pay the transport fare. Why? There's something you call the oil of favor. Many of us know what they call oil of favor. Things just begin to walk to your favor. And God is listening that upon us. Can we just stand up on our feet? Show us your glory, oh God. Show us your glory, oh God. Mandi kuparada bila kapalata. Regadadada bela kapalatiga da belata. Oh Lord, pour out your love afresh upon us again. Amando brass kiva nata bilata. Ebabababababalata. Aila namana kubele minoshka padake. Elile mena kuparada gedo shilara. Ale namanda barat belie. Overflow, mighty river overflow, river overflow. For the sake of time, I say, Lord, pour your love afresh upon me. Pour your love afresh upon me. Choose a posture. You can sit down and you can do anything. But you say, Lord, pour your love afresh upon me. Pour your love afresh upon you. Your love, oh, your love, your love. Your love just overwhelming. There's something like that. Your goodness.
When I go anywhere I turn, I see your faithfulness each day. This kind of love I've never seen, I've never seen. Your love is overwhelming me, oh. Your goodness just carry me, go. Anywhere
Anywhere I go, anywhere I turn, I see your faithfulness each day. This kind of love I've never seen, I've never.
So for the sake of time, I can't go beyond this. There are other things to talk about. So spend that to our next meeting. Praise the Lord. Pour out your love upon me afresh. Rabadosh kapadaski veleta veletat. Abandon the kapilata veletat. Oh, rabadala paide brigadosh kapalita veleta penat. Oh, mambra haski veleta penat. Radabala kopa rakapilata veletat. Deliti kilata palaka brigadita dosh kapalata penat. Oh, pour out your love upon me afresh. Oh, mama na papa. Alipa regada veleko brigadita na palata. Oh, pour out, Holy Spirit, pour out. Just keep praying. Fresh anointing, pour out. We will see you. Pour out, Holy Spirit, pour out. Fresh anointing, pour out. We will see you. So as we round up, you are here. You are here and you know that you want to re-experience the perfect love of Christ, or you have never experienced the perfect love of Christ, or you have never confessed the perfect love of Christ and you want to reconnect to your master. Can I see your hands up, or can you come to the altar so we can pray with you? The Bible says there is joy in heaven for one sinner that is reconnected to the Father, for in Jesus we pray. Okay, so I believe that means that. Amen. Amen. We don't have time, so don't enter in that dimension, please. I believe that implies that every one of us here, we are in right standing with God. Now, this is it. It means that our assignment is to go into the ends of the earth. To do what? To preach the gospel. Your social media is there. Your classmates are there. Preach the gospel to your classmates. Preach the gospel to your colleagues, your neighbors, your friends. Express the love of God to them. And that's one of the ways to express love is by what? Giving. Let your lifestyle reveal the love of God. Can we just begin to bless the name of the Lord? For your name is holy, holy, no. For your name is holy, oh, holy, Lord. For your name is holy. Thank you for giving me the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for giving me the ministry of reconciliation. For many of us, as we are going to go and preach to our neighbors. We are going to go and reveal the love of God to them. Thank you for giving me the ministry of reconciliation. For in Jesus, most precious of my soul.
Blessed are you, Lord, our God. Eternity, holy King. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, whose word rings on the evening. By the cool of Adonai, I'll
some are first timers, please put your hands together. And please stretch your hands towards them. And please stretch all our hands towards them and pray for them. Ask that the Lord will bless them, grant them their heart desires, that the love of God will bubble in your heart, that there will be an overflow of the love of God. That was the book of John chapter 7 verse 7, says, out of our belly shall flow the rivers of living waters. That out of this one shall flow the river of the love of God to nations. That God will reveal his love to nations through this one. That this one will become vessel true with the love of God will be seen all around them. We thank you, Father, for in Jesus' most precious and mighty name we pray. Okay, so it's time for announcement. Come, please have our seat. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. It's time for announcement. Like I said in the morning, I said I discovered that out of everyone that has been a blessing or partaker of this commission, I can only say about 5 of them were not invited by me. Right? Yes, every person was invited by me. The Bible says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and not just that, he said we should do the work of what? Of an evangelist. We should do the assignment to reach out to people, to inform them about Christus Network. That there's a meeting that I go to every blessed partaker. Please do well to your friends, your family members. It's not just for teenagers, it's for everybody. You can even invite your parents to come and be blessed as we partake in God's presence. And then also, we're contemplating about the fact we might have to change the day of our meeting. Though that has not been finalized, so I don't want to declare on the airwave when exactly. But after our first year anniversary, we might change our days of meeting. It might not be last day of the month because there are many of our mother meetings, mother ministries that have their meetings around this time, and that in itself is preventing many of the people from coming. For example, our father has a prayer summit last day of every month, right? Many of them, I believe that's where Naomi went to from here. Them are there, so since last month it has been affecting us, so we may need to readjust. But if the Lord says we should continue, then that means that. But we said something that we are going to be going for heavy evangelism. So very soon we are going to communicate to us when we are meeting for evangelism. So please do well to turn out. Are we together? We are going to be going for massive evangelism. The essence of evangelism is not just for people to join Christus Network alone, which is a fine, is a great thing if they join us, but that men will be saved into the kingdom. We are not going because we want people to join Christus Network. No, we are going because we want the souls of men to be redeemed to the kingdom. So we are going to be taking enough time to pray before we go on the evangelism. Evangelism, the traps, the banners, all that we need will be put together before we go for the evangelism. So prepare your heart to be part of the move of God for this season. Tell your neighbor, prepare your heart to be a part of the move of God for this season. Come on, tell your neighbor, prepare your heart to be a partaker of the move of God for this season. You don't want to miss out on what God is said to do in this season. Let's share the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and about us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we should dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. So celebrate somebody. Thanks for coming, everybody. We celebrate you. This is Noel. Celebrate you, ma. Just celebrate you.